The genteel pastime of crosswords has run into some trouble lately. This spring, a plagiarism scandal got USA Today editor Timothy Parker canned. Turns out he'd copied themes, grids, answers, and clues from the New York Times puzzles for years. The story was reported in depth by 538 and picked up by other outlets, revealing that people care about crosswords. The Times crossword is again in the news for less sympathetic reasons, using yet another tone-deaf hint that observers say exposes the Times puzzle masters to be clueless. Ruth Graham is a regular Slate contributor and a favorite word of mouth guest. She wrote for Slate about the recent brouhaha over a New York Times clue. Ruth, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, what set off the backlash on the New York Times crossword this time?
This time it was a clue 31 down on a Tuesday. The clue was decidedly non-feminist women's group, and the answer was harem, which I have to admit didn't stick out to me at the time as so outrageous, but a lot of regular solvers saw it differently. So one woman I saw said it was unnecessary and awful while managing to be demeaning to both sex workers and women in sex slavery. So, you know, harem is this, like, touchy word, and they're sort of trying to make this corny joke about it. And it's an arena which, you know, probably people making jokes should tread carefully. And I think coming after all of these other sort of similarly awkward clues when it comes to issues having to do with race and gender, people are just getting a little bit fed up.
So is this a chronic problem for the crossword?
It is. So over the last couple of years, I'll just read you a couple of examples. In November, there was another sort of awkward feminist joke where the clue was exasperated comment from a feminist. And the answer was men, which sort of reminded people of like a bad Kathy comic or something and seemed to conflate feminists with man haters. So that prompted an apology, actually, from the editor, Will Shorts. And then there's some other ones which strike me as a little bit uglier. So they've used the word illegal, clued, as a noun, which is seen as pretty offensive at this point. So used as a noun to mean a person who's an undocumented person, I guess. And then they also have a habit of using words like thugs and homies in awkward ways. So the word hood was clued as a place with homies. And crossword puzzles are an overwhelmingly white and also male universe. So those things just ring as like really tone deaf and unfortunate to a lot of people. So it's not like every puzzle is this like minefield of racism, but it's just this persistent sort of tone deafness that I think is bugging people.
Well, many NPR listeners would know that Will Shorts, he's a guest each Sunday morning on Weekend Edition. He's the puzzle editor for the New York Times. Is he ultimately responsible?
He is, at least everyone I spoke to. I couldn't get a hold of him, but all of the constructors and editors that I consulted for this piece agreed that sort of the buck stops with the editor. So editors actually often rewrite clues and are certainly ultimately responsible for the overall tone and language that a puzzle uses. So,
well, I know a number of people complained about the harem comment, mm-hmm. as they have with others. You know, it was hateful. It was awful. You use the term tone deaf. But the clues, as you just said, reflect the staff. Who's on the staff?
Right. So the interesting thing is that the early history of crossword puzzles, there were lots of women involved. So the first editor of the New York Times crossword puzzle was a woman, and it was a very female universe in those early years, so early 20th century into the mid-20th century. Now it is really overwhelmingly male and overwhelmingly white. So of the last, I think, 47 constructors who were published in the Times, just 11 of them were women. And I don't have a count in front of me of the racial breakdown, but it's certainly an overwhelmingly white group of guys, too.
Well, the New York Times crossword puzzle, that's kind of the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
I think people who do it often consider themselves very smart for having been able to accomplish it, and I don't actually blame them for that. But can we expect more? I mean, it sort of seems like an old world kind of pastime.
I think it does seem that way, but I also think that that's not inevitable. So one of the reasons that people get so up in arms about this, and it may seem sort of silly to outsiders, but crossword puzzles have all of these sort of like cultural and linguistic assumptions baked into them. So clues are really meant to be definitions or synonyms for the answers. So when a clue sets up, like there was another example a few years ago, not in the New York Times crossword puzzle, but where the answer Jew was clued with the clue Shylock,
wow.
Which, I mean, that one is like obviously so far beyond the pale, and again prompted this apology. But that, it's such an outrageous example because that crossword puzzle is suggesting that Shylock is a synonym for Jew. So the fact that crossword puzzles are making these statements about definitions and synonyms are why they seem to bother people so much when there's this sort of slippage between how solvers understand a word and how it's used in a clue. And to what you were saying, there's also a lot of assumptions about what is common knowledge. So if a crossword puzzle is meant to be sort of medium easy and there are a bunch of clues that rely on your knowledge of like Italian opera, that really is making a statement about what kind of person is doing the puzzle. So there are all these kind of interesting assumptions baked into every puzzle.
Well, it's sort of a reminder that throughout our media universe, there are many places where things could stand an update.
Yeah, exactly. So from what I hear, things are getting better, at least in terms of gender diversity, in terms of constructors. And I'm sure that the editor level in the years and decades to come, that will diversify as well. But this is just a great example of why having a diverse staff, diverse constructors, diverse editors really matters, because you sort of catch these tone deaf things.
Is that what they call them? The makers of puzzles are called constructors?
Yeah, so the sort of writer of a puzzle who submits, they submit a finished grid and then they submit their suggestions for clues. And then the editor is the one who ultimately sort of polishes up and is responsible for it.
Did you get any indication of why there was a drop in the number of female constructors?
Well, so one constructor and editor actually that I spoke to suggested that it was as puzzles became a more lucrative business and sort of more professionalized and there was more money in them, then that attracts men who push out the women. And, you know, that's certainly a common pattern in other industries. So where it's sort of seen as a fluffy pastime, women are allowed to dabble in it. But as its stature grows, then it becomes a more masculine industry.
Well, Ruth, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Ruth Graham, she's a regular Slate contributor and one of our favorite frequent guests here. She wrote an article about the backlash to the New York Times crossword puzzle, which just came up again recently. You can find a link to read the column at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.